Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn back to the book of Daniel. We're trying to finish up Daniel as we taken a couple week break because I haven't preached in a couple weeks. We're in Daniel chapter 10, if you'll turn with me there. Daniel chapter 10, we're to another vision that Daniel has. And I want to focus more on some things that stood out to me than the vision in which he had. It's, you know, I didn't know what would be going on today for the message that we had, and I was praying for Austin, and no doubt Austin is closer to Brother Lynn, but it's no easier on me to stand here and do what he called with all the memories of Brother Lynn, my amen corner being gone, and just the amount of care that he took for me and my family, and it's hard. The songs hit me as hard probably as they did you, Austin. But I'm going to stand here and I'm going to preach God's word, because if there was one thing that Brother Lynn told me more than anything is never forget Jesus. He said, I don't care if you're preaching from the Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, or Proverbs, it always ends with Jesus. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. In Daniel chapter 10, let's start in verses 1 through 6, and we're going to see the introduction here before we kind of get into the points that I want to go over. I don't want to just ignore the vision and what's happening here. So Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 said, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. And the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointments at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face was like appearance of lightning, and his eyes were flaming torches, his arms and his feet like gleams of polished bronze. The sound of his words were like the sound of a tumult. And there's the vision that you see Daniel, and you see that it led him to mourn for 3 weeks. The vision bothered him so bad that he, for 3 weeks, couldn't get it off of his mind. And it said he had no tasty food, so he had sustenance, but he didn't have food. And anybody in here that's ever been stressed out, been worried, what happens to your attitude, your appetite? It's non-existent, right? And you start focusing on your problems, what happens? Then it takes the joy of every aspect of your life away from you. And so Daniel comes up with this problem, and he focused so much on this problem, he has no appetite. He's eating food only to sustain himself. There's no meat, there was no wine, and he said he was using no ointments. None of the fine things that he got as the king's man did he partake in these 3 weeks. And then after 24 days, he gets a visit. A man dressed in linen, a belt of gold from Uphaz, which is an area known for fine gold at that time, a body of like a yellow stone, face of lightning, eyes of flaming torches, arms like polished bronze, and a voice like the roar of a crowd. I would lose my appetite, and I'd be a little worried. I'd be a little scared with the situation that's going on. But look at verse 7. This is what really stood out to me this week last several weeks. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. See, Daniel experiences something that the people around him didn't experience. And it made me ask this question. Why do some people experience spiritual things and others do not? Anybody that's ever been on a youth trip, anybody that's ever gone to a Strength to Stand or a summer camp, there are people in the group that have this impactful moment with God, and there's people in the group that just goof off and don't experience anything. There are people in this room today that you will walk away from this service feeling like God himself touched you, and there'll be other people in this service that walks away wondering why you can't. Oftentimes in life, there are always these two groups of people, these people that seem to experience something and these people that seem to be oblivious to something. I remember as a teenager, I was on my way to summer camp. And I did the only thing that teenage boys thought was important. And I went by my girlfriend's house at the time and telling her bye and all this kind of stuff. And as I was leaving her house, I remember her saying, "Please don't come back some Jesus freak." Now I want to ask you a question. How many people in here think that I had a powerful encounter with God on that trip? Absolutely not. Because I was afraid if God did something in my life, I would come back and my girlfriend wouldn't like me anymore. And so therefore, I shunned the Lord at every turn on that camp. And everybody came back from that camp, experienced something powerful. And I came back with that camp miserable because I had chosen to not allow myself to be transformed by the Lord. So what separates Daniel from these people? Now we know Daniel was a man of preparation. We got that in chapter 1, when they were called into, or they carried off from their hometown into Babylon. We got that he stood against the diet. He stood against the teachings. He said, "I'm going to remain faithful no matter what." See, Daniel is a man of preparation, which to me says that when I come into this room, I should be a man of preparation. The message that I have and the heart and the condition in which I have a role to play. I can't just show up and expect God to do something. I have to myself be prepared. When Austin walks onto this stage, he can't just walk onto this stage not ready, not doing anything. He has to come prepared for what God wants to do. He has to come ready for God to use him. But when you walk into those doors, when you come into this church, you have the same calling to be as prepared for what God is going to do on this day as me or Austin. Now, our accountability might be held higher. The Bible tells us that we are called to not lead people astray. But if you come into this church and you leave this church, and nothing happens in your heart, and you don't have an experience with the Lord, it rests on you. It rests on the preparation that you're putting into your life before you walk into these doors. I cannot make you have an experience. Now, there are times, praise God, in my life in which God sought me out no matter what. That I put no preparation, no time, and God, for some reason, or some ordained reason, he said, "You know what? I'm going after Adam, and I'm going to get him." And those few times were amazing to watch God at work, but every other time outside of those, it's about the work and the effort and the preparation that I put into it. I want to ask you a question before we go to the next point. How prepared are you now to hear from God? How prepared are you tomorrow morning to live out your faith for the Lord? Everything in life that we want to be good at, we have to put work and effort and preparation into. And for some reason, we think our spiritual walk is just supposed to fall right into our lap. We're supposed to be ready for every situation. When it comes down to it, do you want to be Daniel that experiences what the Lord did, or do you want to be those other people that just fled in fear? You see, ultimately, that's what we see here. It's the difference between fear and reverence. Go back and read that. You'll see that Daniel fell on his face in reverence. The guys with him had no idea what was going on, so they just ran away in fear. In verses 11 and 12, skip down just a little bit. It says, "He said to me, the man said to Daniel, O man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. Y'all see how amazing that is? Y'all see what he just said there? Daniel's words were heard immediately. Daniel's prayer was heard immediately. It didn't take 3 weeks for him to hear Daniel. It took the moment that he humbled himself, the moment that he fell on his face before the Lord, the moment that he started praying. He said, I heard you. And what Daniel experiences, we experience. Number one, it said there, I might need some water there. At the beginning, it said Daniel was precious to God. That's how he said. He said, oh, Daniel, man of high esteem. If Daniel was precious to God, I assure you that you're precious to God and that I'm precious to God. And so in our moments of prayer, it does not affect the way that God views us. If you've been in prayer and you feel like God's heard your voice, it doesn't make you more esteemed. And if you've been in prayer and it seems like God's not answering that prayer, it makes you doesn't make you less esteemed by God. God holds all of us in high esteem. The angel was sent immediately for him in the same sense that oftentimes God responds to us immediately with it. It's not this thing in which oftentimes we think because God doesn't act immediately, he does not hear us. And so therefore we must make more noise. We must make more petition. And that, to be honest with you, sounds more like pagan worship than it does the worship of God. Go back to the Elijah and the Baal prophets. They're the ones that beating drums and jumping around and doing all this kind of stuff, trying to get their God to hear them. God hears Daniel's prayers. I assure you that God hears our prayers. But then something happened in verse 13 that explains why it took, 24 days before the man appeared. We're going to read verses 13 and then we're going to skip over to verses 20 and 21. It says this, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, the one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. Then you skip down and it says this. Then he said, do you not understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I'm going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth, yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. So God heard him immediately, and he sends this messenger to Daniel, but he runs into a problem. He runs into what is called the prince of Persia that stood against this messenger. This is what I would consider spiritual warfare. This is a battle going on, not physically, but a battle going on in the realm that we can't even comprehend at this moment. I did a Bible study Sunday night, and we talked about Satan is not God's counterpart. Oftentimes we see that, right? We think of Satan like we think of Star Wars. You got the good and you got the evil. You got the dark side, you got the light side. You got, you know, in my generation, it was G.I. Joe. You know, G.I. Joe and Cobra. You know, the bad guys and the good guys. And they were on this epic battle that you never knew which side was going to win. And that's not what's happening in the principalities. Now, Satan is a formidable foe to Michael. You know why? Because they're both angels. Satan is a fallen angel. Michael is a faithful angel. And it says that this messenger was sent from God, and Satan came against him to withhold him from Daniel. And the battle was so extreme between those two that Michael showed up to continue the battle on so that this messenger could come to Daniel. And it said that Michael remained there fighting. So this battle is going, and I want to point this out. I mentioned it Sunday night too. The reason why there's spiritual warfare is because of grace. God could end it like that, and every lost person on this earth would go to hell. But he allows this battle to continue forth because we, as the messengers of God, are supposed to be sharing the faith in Jesus Christ. Now, about an hour ago, we lost a man who shared faith with more people by himself than this whole room has together. And with the passing of a man like Brother Lynn, there has to be people that step up and say, I will be a soul winner. Because that's the very purpose of the spiritual warfare that is going on around us. It's not to discourage us. It's not to allow evil to prolong. If you go back to the Jesus when he was preaching on the wheat and the tares, and in the parable, the guy sowed wheat, good seed, and his enemy came and sowed bad seed in it, and his workers asked, should we go and pull up the weeds? He said, no, let them grow together. And at the end of time, we'll separate the wheat from the weeds, and we'll throw the weeds in the fire, and we'll harvest the wheat. That's what's happening right now. He's letting the wheat and the weeds grow together. And it's supposed to be our calling to reach more people. It's supposed to be our calling to somehow turn those weeds into wheat. That sounds weird, but that's ultimately what happened to me. I don't know about y'all, but if you look back on my life, I was a weed. I was not wheat. And somehow God transformed me to be good. And the messenger said he is going to return from that meeting with Daniel to fight against the prince of Persia, and then soon this prince of Greece that is to come. So what does that mean for us? How do we take this story and we apply it to us today? Well, number one, we will never experience all God wants us to if we remain unprepared. If we continue to do what we're doing now, you will only get what you are experiencing now. You know, what's the definition of sanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting something different to happen. If you want something different in your life, you have to start doing something different in your life. If you want God to impact your life, you've got to start putting effort and preparation into it. This is not a magic room that can change your heart. Strength to Stand for you teenagers is not this magic conference that can just all of a sudden take you to where you need to be and keep you there. It takes preparation and effort. Number two, our prayers are being heard and responded to, but there are forces at work around us that we do not see and we do not understand. If God can delay, or if Satan can delay God's prayer request for 30 minutes, it makes it seem like God's not in control, and we ourselves start to doubt what he can and he cannot do. So oftentimes we have to understand that God wants to hear our prayer and God wants to answer our prayers. A lot of times God has answered our prayers, but somehow Satan has come in, and through spiritual warfare he's allowed us not to see it, not to understand it, and not to comprehend it. I want to point out to you that also I think some of the best answers in prayer is no. Aren't you glad? Well, I can't say this for everybody. I'm glad that God didn't give me the first girl that I prayed for. It wasn't Heather. And it wasn't worked out very well. I'll be honest with you. I'm glad, Brother Lynn's standing with Jesus. I'm glad he got to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. It don't fix the hole in my heart, but I'm glad. And I wish that prayer would have been answered earlier, but it wasn't. Because God has purpose. God has plan. But also we live in a fallen world. And Satan loves to ruin anything that he can. So I don't know what God's plan was. And I don't know what God's plan is in my life. But I'm a firm believer that God can take the worst and make the best. And Satan can make the best and turn it into the worst. That's the world that we live in. So the question that we need to do or understand is our prayers are being heard and responded to. But oftentimes there are forces around us that are keeping us from it. Number three, how God sees Daniel, he sees us. He saw Daniel as precious, worthy, and available. And that's how God should see us. Precious, worthy, and available. And lastly, there are spiritual forces battling all around us. Some on our behalf and some against us. Remember, Satan is not God's nemesis. He holds no power over God. I don't understand this, but there was a moment in Scripture in which God called all the angels before them. And you know who reported? Satan did. Just like a little dog that's called. Come here. He come running. Michael and the Prince of Persia are equal powers because they're both angels. And grace is what allows us to exist, the wheat and the tares. Here's the most important part of the message today. Sometime later, after this text, God himself intervenes on behalf of man. And he sends Jesus Christ, his son, to this earth. In the same way that he sent a messenger unto Daniel, he sent Jesus unto us as a baby in a manger. He lived out his life 33 years. Perfectly. Never sinned. Not in the least bit. I can't even comprehend that. That means that those thoughts that you have in your mind that you don't say in front of people, Jesus didn't even say that. Think those things. He's 100% trustworthy. He is 100% true. He did nothing outside of God's will. And his reward was to be crucified, to die on a cross, not because of the Romans, but because of us, because of our sin. Every wrong thing that we ever did was one more swing of the hammer that drove the nails into his hands. And there was a moment on that cross in which he said, "It is finished," and he died. And then 3 days later, his tomb was found empty. That's our messenger. That's our story. Daniel stood there for 3 weeks, not eating, not drinking, just existing in fear. You know, I don't think we have the same kind of fear that Daniel has. Because we have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. Can you believe that? In the Old Testament, they existed in a time without Jesus or the Holy Spirit. I imagine their fear was great. But we have two wonderful gifts that we get to live with. The knowledge of who Jesus was and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our heart. I want to ask you a question. Do you feel that presence this morning? If you were to die tonight, do you know where you would spend eternity? Because that's what testifies inside of me, the Spirit of God in my heart. And that's the testimony that we have. You see, Daniel here goes through this, and he experiences what others do not. His words were heard immediately. He gets to experience this understanding of spiritual warfare. All these things can be applied to us, yes. But one thing that could be applied to him was the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. And so whatever the future holds, whatever this warfare that is to come, and we've got a couple chapters left of this vision, we get the great helper for us to deal with it. I think it's wasn't intended, but I think it's maybe God's plan for this sermon to end about the time it's for us to vote. And as Americans, I encourage all of you to go vote. I don't tell you who for, that's between you and the Lord. But it doesn't matter what happens in November. Jesus is still king, and God is still on his throne. And there's a famous verse that we quote all the time that I think brings out this point. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, said, I will heal their land. What is that verse telling us? We got to put in the work. We can be people who get upset about politics, or we can be people who pray and pray and pray. Our calling is not to vote in a president. Our calling is to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. And when we do those things, when we put in that work, God will heal our land. Y'all stand with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.